Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Matthew. Sometimes when we are doing a study that goes along with our worship services, you might kind of wonder, like, how did we end up with these scriptures here? And so this is the story that comes just before what Pastor Hannah preached on last week, because that's how our study is moving along here. So in Matthew chapter 2, in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." The word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. "Curiouser and curiouser," cried Alice. She was so much surprised that for the moment she quite forgot how to speak good English. 158 years ago, Lewis Carroll first published Alice in Wonderland. You are going to see some illustrations today from the 1865 edition, some of the first illustrations of Alice in Wonderland, long before the Disney version. And 158 years later, we are still using the expression "curiouser and curiouser" to mean that something is growing increasingly confounding or confusing. We also talk still about going down the rabbit hole, chasing a white rabbit, mad as a hatter, grinning like a Cheshire cat, off with their heads, and believing six impossible things before breakfast. I wonder if Lewis Carroll had any idea or hope that his book would not only become part of the cultural lexicon, that is, phrases we all use, but also be staged, parodied, and, again, you know you've made it, made into a Disney movie. I wonder if the Magi could have had any idea that their journey would also be the stuff of songs, poems, jokes, and other parts of our culture 2 millennia later, and across the ocean, no less. For some of us, this story of the Magi is so familiar that our only questions might be, why is this a chapter in a book called An Unlikely Advent, and why are we reading this before Christmas. But then, for those of us who wonder, if there's a place for us in what God is doing, we may be asking, is this the story that says Jesus is for me? For all of us, if we peel back the layers of years and cultural familiarity, we will find a story as fantastical as Alice in Wonderland. So in that study that goes with our worship series, Reverend Rachel Billups titles this chapter, A Curious People. It's a clever title because there are two definitions of curious that apply to the Magi. They are curious people who notice something that they don't understand and who wonder about it enough to seek an answer. They are also curious people because we can't explain them. We wonder who they are and what they are doing in this story. The Magi do not belong in this story any more than a talking white rabbit hopping down the aisle up here would belong. Who are they? We don't even know for sure. Zoroastrians, astrologers, fire worshippers. The gifts they brought indicate that they are definitely wealthy, possibly seeking a political alliance, but we don't know if they are actually rulers of any kind, in spite of the more familiar carol we'll sing in a few minutes. We have often assumed that they were three men, but we don't actually know those details for certain either. We will always be curious about the details this side of heaven. But whoever they are, the Bible, prior to the Gospels, is quite clear. God's chosen people should not be talking to the Magi. The law is quite clear. No mediums, no magicians, no witches, wizards, or fortune tellers. Don't consult them and don't become them. No contact, not allowed. So over the years, I've learned to stop and ask a curious question whenever I encounter the law in the Hebrew Bible. Why would God command this? The law in the Hebrew Bible was given to Moses and some of the other ancient people and was the one that Jesus was trying to operate under. Why would God command this? The answer is always going to be a guess, but oftentimes there was a very good reason at the time. Why shouldn't Israelites consult mediums? Well, because the power of life and death belongs to God. Why not fortune tellers? Because the future is God's. Why not magicians? Because they are also manipulating powers that belong to God. And so not only is this idolatrous, someone else stepping into God's place, but the bigger problem is putting trust and a power other than God. So why are the Magi in this story when they're explicitly forbidden elsewhere in the Bible? Hold that question if you can think six impossible things before breakfast. One of the questions I've been holding most of my life is, why do the Magi follow that star? Have you ever, really thought through all those details? Ancient cultures learned a tremendous amount about the stars, the moon, and the planets without the modern technology we have today, because primitive does not mean stupid. If you've never taken a trip to Serpent Mound in southern Ohio, go. Check it out and be amazed. So it's not hard for me to imagine or accept a worldview that says events in the sky are connected to human history. For example, it really felt like the snowflakes at my grandfather's graveside were kisses from heaven. But how do these Magi go from a new star means a new king to that star means we should take a long and difficult and expensive journey to visit a puppet king in the backwoods? Alice, why did you follow a talking white rabbit? It's about as crazy there. The part that's easy to believe, unfortunately, is political intrigue and corrupt rulers in the palace. Off with their heads is something that kings and queens and rulers have proclaimed for millennia. Off with their heads. And because we are reading a Bible story about Jesus coming to us, fulfilled prophecy makes a lot of sense to us in this context. But recognizing a peasant toddler as king does not. How did the Magi know that two-year-old Jesus was the one they were seeking? Who were they to be able to see what many of the faithful could not? What is God doing putting Alice in Wonderland in the Bible? Curiouser and curiouser. What are these foreign magicians doing in an obscure town worshiping a toddler? Let's take that question. What are the Magi doing in this story when they so clearly don't belong? Maybe the answer is that if they're in the story, they do belong. We humans are often pretty anxious to define who's in and who's out. This doesn't just happen on elementary school playgrounds or high school cafeterias. It happens in the church, too. Throughout our collective history as Christians, we've restricted who can read the Bible, who can serve or take communion, what counts as baptism, who can get married and buried in the church, and who can sit where. But this story of the Magi seeking out Jesus, it really just deflates all that. If God made a special effort to bring non-believers to Jesus who were explicitly excluded by Jesus' own religion, well, then who can't come to Jesus? And if God uses another religion to bring outsiders to Jesus, then is there anything God can't use? And if the most highly educated religious elite can literally quote chapter and verse about what God is doing, but not go along themselves to meet God fulfilling their long-awaited hopes? What and who might we miss out on if we only look for God in the church? Sometimes, when people find out I'm a pastor, they suddenly, oh, so sorry, realize they need to be somewhere else. I hear this happens to lawyers and IRS agents sometimes, too. Yeah. But on the other end of the response spectrum, some people ask me the question they have been waiting to ask a person of faith for a long time, or tell me a story of how God is working in their life. I have had what is both the privilege and the challenge of having more than one person tell me with an intensity that I recognize as born of transformation that they have met Jesus without reading the Bible or going to church. The first time this happened to me, oh wow, did it set me back. They didn't know Jesus the way I know Jesus, and furthermore, they had no interest in reading the Bible or going to church. How could it be Jesus they'd met? How did they know it was Jesus? It took a couple times, I must confess, before I realized how arrogant it is for me to assume that God will only work through the ways that work for me. So now when people tell me how God is working for good in their lives, I trust that God knows better than I do and listen with joy to have gotten a glimpse. Many of us here and watching from home are those who have 2 feet solidly in the church, and we need to heed the warning of the religious elites in this story, not the warnings that they gave to Herod about how disruptive this might be, but the warning about how they missed out. They were so sure that they knew what God was doing that they forgot to be curious when unlikely people showed up. Another thing I wonder about is, how did the people of Bethlehem receive the Magi when they arrived? In Luke's gospel, it tells us that the events around Jesus' birth were things that Mary treasured and pondered in her heart. We know here in this story that the Magi trusted and obeyed a dream from God, which seems to mean that I wonder if that means that they really cared about the family and the people that they'd met. I wonder, is it possible that these outsiders who came were treated with respect and hospitality? Is it possible that living under the Roman boot had taught the people of Bethlehem that we're all in this together and that gifts can come from strangers? It's possible that they all learned more about Jesus and God's love because of this meeting of strangers, of curious people coming together. This is another thing. We will never know this side of heaven, but I wonder. And I also wonder today, and the people that we meet or the people that we just coexist with without meeting, how many are essentially searching the skies for meaning? How many are trying to make sense of how the world works, of where they fit in, of how their lives matter? Maybe some of us here, who are here or who have tuned in, we're wondering, do we fit in? Do our lives matter? The only way I can really make sense of the Magi's long journey is that they experienced the tug of God to their heart's emptiness when they saw the star. When they didn't find what they were looking for at the religious establishment, they kept going until they met Jesus. How many people feel drawn to God but aren't sure if they'll find God or be welcome at church? Because they are single, or they don't have children, or they have too many children. Because they don't already know the Bible or when to stand and sit in worship. Because they have the wrong clothes or the wrong accent. Because Christians have been mean to them. Because they think they have to be worthy before they can come to church. How many people, apparently inside the church, always feel either like they're faking belonging or secretly worry that they don't, in fact, belong? And for all of those who wonder, all of those who are searching for meaning and wondering about their place, there's the Magi, right there at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, as a great big sign that God will go to whatever lengths necessary to bring any and all curious people to Jesus. If you skim the news or scroll on social media after our service is over, the idea of a God who not only welcomes, but reaches out to welcome the people like us and the people not like us, the ones who already know and the ones who don't, the ones who draw the circle and the ones who erase it. Well, the idea of a God like that, it's as fantastical as Alice in Wonderland, but so much more real. Curiouser and curiouser, we cry, so much surprised by love that for the moment we quite forget how to keep people out. Let's pray. Oh God, our whole lives long, we seek you. We meet you at different points along the way. Sometimes we recognize you and sometimes we don't, but we are always seeking to draw closer to you. Guide us, just as you guided the Magi, as you guided Mary and Joseph, as you have guided your people through the years. Guide us closer to your heart. Help us to recognize Jesus when we see him, and help us to be people who not only can give directions, but can be curious enough to go along when we meet others who are seeking you. Give us joy each and every time we find you, and help us to know that it is indeed you. In the mighty name of Jesus the Surprise, we pray. Amen.